Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a good looking crowd here. One thing I'd like to say is, in this, when you guys are quiet and silent, every time you do that, I think of my dad. When you just sit in here, because man, he was a silent guy. He would say that, you know. Even though he spoke for 50 years, there was a lot of silence around him. And he would always say, God is in the silence. He's in the silence. Forget all the racket. Quit listening to all the stuff. Shut off the TV. Shut off your phone. He wouldn't even let us answer the phone when we were growing up as kids. He's, don't rush. Because that's what they do. They train you to run to a bell. How true is that? Amen. You got to answer that thing. You got to pick it up right away. Dad would say, listen to the silence. So when you do that, every time, my mind goes strictly to my dad. I just wanted to say that this morning. In the silence. He is present. I want to read one scripture. It's not really what I'm going to talk about, but I want to read it. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, Keith, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperaments. Against such there is no law. And I like it because the fruit, it says fruit, not fruits, like a lot of fruits, but look at all that comes out of that one fruit. And as everybody knows, who's our fruit? Christ is the fruit. And all those things come from knowing Him. Don't seek peace, seek Christ. I know you all know that, but I wasn't going to start there, but I guess I am. Right? And so I thought about that. How that is, and I just wanted to share that. So this morning, basically, that's what I'm going to be talking about. I didn't think it had anything to do with it, but obviously it does. And so a couple weeks ago, well, actually it was 4 weeks ago, I shared up here about the keys to the kingdom and kingdom living, and about the king that had the wedding feast, and everybody came, and the one guy who wasn't dressed right, and then how what we need to be dressed in. In the breastplate of righteousness and all those things that we find in Christ. So I've been still doing the keys to the kingdom. And like the young man was saying, where'd he go? Lost him. Right there. About something to chew on when he said that, you know, feeding. And I thought, that's very true. Made today, when I get done, you have something to chew on. You know, and that is the goal. Right? Because as Keith said, as everybody said, as Ed gave for the communion, it's very true. It's all about Christ and what He's done, you know, in my life and what He's doing in your life. And the world might be falling apart, but we're not falling apart. I'm not nervous. I'm not afraid. I'm not. I'm not walking around in fear. What's going to happen is going to happen. And I know we need to be cautious for other people. I don't have a problem with that. We have friends that have little babies and they're super cautious. That's not fear. I'm not fearful. And I'm just, you're cautious for that family. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, but the fear is what you need to lay aside. Don't look for help in the fear. Seek Christ and your fear is relieved. Amen. Seek Christ and your fear is relieved. If we keep looking to Him. Look to Him no matter what's happened. Long suffering, troubled times, things like that. We've all had them. You look around. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were telling me stuff. I'm going, man, my life's been easy. If that's all the trouble you had, you know, you got all that going on. Wow. I thought to myself, I don't have any complaints. I haven't suffered. If that's suffered, that person's been suffering. So I want to look at those keys to the kingdom. And there's different ones. There's like the fruit of the Spirit is a lot of different things. We see those keys are many different things. And like Doug knows, I called him and I told you the last time I called him. And he was because of the land. And Doug's in the land and, you know, finds treasure in the land. And he does those things, you know. Well, Doug understands that. A lot of us don't understand that. We don't get it. So what I'm going to try to do is the keys to the kingdom are many different keys because there's many different ways God touches us. or God relates to us. We all don't receive it the exact same way. Doug gets a thrill out of that piece of land in Dover. It's perfect. He could have made a farmlet. He told me all about it. Am I allowed to say all that? And he was telling me about this piece too late, right, Doug? And he was telling me about how it would be a perfect piece of land, and he could do this, and he could develop, and he could. And I thought, that's it. He's got it. It's exactly what I'm saying. He understands. And how Christ works in his life, Doug would understand through a piece of land. I thought, hey, that's amazing. So he uses that for Doug, right? And I want to do the one, I want to look at the lady and that had to do with the flower. And, you know, she got the flour and the three pieces that she hid in the dough and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not a cook at all. You know, I like those peaches you throw in the oven and cook that kind of stuff. You know, that kind of easy things. Me and Gavin tear those things up. And so who do I call? I got to call somebody. So I call Tina Timmons. And I said, Tina, I need to talk to you about a couple ideals. And I have what I want to say, but I need to know if it's true. I need to know if this works with the baking part. Does this really happen? Does that come together? You know, and I'm thinking about all those different things. Now, and then so we talk about it, and she takes and they have the flour, as the scripture goes, and I can't find it. That's funny, I got notes, but can't find the scripture. And so they take the flour, and she hides the yeast or the meal or whatever in it. She hides it. So I spend days thinking about hiding the yeast. I mean, how do you hide it? What do you do? So I got to call Tina, and they mix it together, and they do all that kind of stuff. And she talked to me about oil being put in and water being put in. And so you don't even know it's in there. See, I was thinking that you'd be able to see it somehow. But once it's hidden in there, you don't never see it. You never see it. And I want to give a little illustration. I hope you guys go with me on this stuff, right? I was sick one time real bad, probably 18 years ago. Sick bad, real bad. And I had this real crazy high fever, and I'd get them once in a while. Even when I was a kid, I had these 104-degree fevers, and I'd be burning up. But I was up in the apartment at my mom and dad's house, and I was really sick. And I'm thinking, man, what am I going to do? I got to go to the hospital. There's no doubt. I got to go. So I thought, well, first thing I got to do is I got to walk past mom and dad. Then I thought, look out the window. Mr. Bill Timmons lives there. Then at the time, Brent and Tina lived across the street. At the time, Hope and Jay lived the next house down. I thought, well, I got to go past all those people to get to the hospital. So I called them to come pray for me. I said to Dad, well, let me get, what do you want? So they got Mr. Bill. I don't know if you guys came over or not. You did? And so they all came over there, and I'm laying there. I'm a big lump of flour. I'm laying there. Man, I was sick, man. I had nothing going on. I couldn't move. I wasn't worth a dime. Mr. Bill starts praying, if you remember. He didn't pray. He didn't rebuke the fever. He didn't go there. He didn't try to get rid of the fever. He said, I'm praying that Christ be hid in Rick. I pray that more Christ be in Rick and that fever would leave. Because the more of Christ, the less of the fever. More of Christ, the less of the fear. Right? And the best part about it was in the silence. You don't see that. They all left. I was, what, maybe 10 minutes? My fever was gone. I could feel the coolness come over my body. Right? They injected Christ, that yeast, into my life. And what was great about it, it did it in silence. The yeast grows in silence. It didn't grow. Everybody didn't hear me. I wasn't screaming and hollering. I wasn't running all around the place. I'm sitting there by myself, and I could feel my fever leaving, Christ growing in me. And when Christ does the growing, right, in your life, you can't take credit for it. You can't walk around. Look what I did. I did this. I'm a believer. I did this. I did. Christ was growing up in me. He was coming and he was relieving the fever in my life. Right? And I thought that, wow, they're kneading that in there. They're hiding it. So that dough starts to grow. Right? Not because of what that lady did. Right? But because what was, and it was silent growth. Think about that. Christ is growing. It might not be noisy. You might not be loud. You might not be the one. You might be silent, like Miss Jamie's silent. But Christ is growing in Jamie. There's no doubt about it. I can pick on her. That's my niece. Right? And you see it growing. That yeast is growing. Christ is growing. It's been planted in her. It was planted through Mama, Papa, wasn't it? Years ago, that seed was planted. Slowly it's been growing. Right? And that's what's so cool. One of the keys to the kingdom is it comes in silence. Christ is planted in. He starts to rise. I thought, how cool was that? Even in my own life, right? I look back and I thought, wow, that's what Mr. Bill prayed for. He didn't pray to get rid of everything. He didn't pray to get rid of the suffering. He didn't pray to get rid of... He said, let's pray more Christ in wreck and he be lifted up. So that's what that lady's doing. Christ is growing. And in her, she sees, she knows what that is. If you're a baker, you've probably, I've heard people talk about, them two talk about when they did the communion bread, how they saw Christ when they did the communion bread. Now, I don't think there's any yeast in that. I don't think they're, they don't want it rising. And then, because that's, I've read, that's another whole story. But they still saw Christ in that kneading and poking and prodding. So that's one of the things, the keys to the kingdom. Sometimes it's silent work that Christ is doing in your life. I thought, how cool was that? Because we're looking for noise. Look how distracting it is out here. They do anything they can. Me and Kathy have this conversation not to talk about Christ. Anything they can. That's what's going on, man. They don't want to hear anything. Even if you say, I have a friend of mine in California. I posted a little teeny thing one day. He wrote me back this thing about how I'm this, what was it? Radical Christian. I thought, me, a radical Christian. You know what I mean? But that's what he said I was. Because I posted one little thing. And it wasn't bad. It was actually encouraging. But you sound like a radical Christian. So there you go. In the silence. So that lady's doing that. And I thought, how great is that? You know, that Christ would rise in those, in the things. So we look at that. And we, I just thank the Lord that he, it's not what I do. Because I couldn't make it. I'd never make it. So we pray that Christ rises in your life. May he rise in your heart. And that's one of the keys to the kingdom. It's just let it set in there. Inject Christ into your friends. Inject Christ into your own heart. Right? Feed them that. Feed them that. That man gave me a good idea this morning. Feed them that. Just an old lump of flour. And then there was the guys with the, when they plant the seeds, and then they have, and then in the middle of the night comes, and it's funny, these are all likened to the kingdom of heaven. That's what always gets me at first when you read it, because then the enemy comes in and puts the seeds in with the good stuff, right? And I'm like the first guy. Well, I'll go pull them out. I want to get rid, get them out now. You know, get them out. And they said, no, let them grow. Because if you pull out the bad right now, the good will be good, tore up too. It's too early. The good can't survive if you rip the bad out right away. And I'm thinking, what? What is that? Well, you'd want to get rid of it. You know, but they grow it up and they let it go. And what happens in the end of that story? Right? They take that one seed out. They take the bad out and it's burnt. They tie it together and they burn it. And I love burning. I burn stuff all the time. I have bonfires in my yard all the time. And they burn all that up, but the good is still healthy. They can pull the good, and it's put in the barn. It's going to be for good use. You know. And it, he does things in that life, in your life. So right away, the first thing I'm thinking is, man, I got to get rid of that right away. You know, I got to, well, wait a minute. There's some good going on in here. I got to look at the whole situation. Don't be so quick to react. This is for me. Because I'm quick, man. You know, my attitude's quick, my reactions are quick, and I say stupid stuff right away, then 5 minutes later, I'm sorry I said it. You know? Too quick to react sometimes, Rick. You just let that set in there. Don't be so fast to get rid of that. It's something you're going to learn and see the difference in how they grow and what they do and how useful they become. So I start looking at keys of the kingdom. You know, isn't always about a quick, fast reaction. Get rid of the bad, here's the good. Sometimes they grow side by side. Wow. Then you can actually see what's good and bad. You can't tell me today you can't see what's good and bad. You can't see it? As believers, you got to be able to see it. And there's no confusion to anything going on in my mind. I'm not confused. You know, they tell me I'm confused. You know what I mean? Because I don't agree. But I'm not arguing. There's a difference. I'm not willing to pull it. Because if we wait, that good's going to shine. See what I mean? Sometimes we got to ride this stuff out. A little bit of suffering, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Right, ride it out. Oh, wait a minute. He's going to separate that. When it's separated, we're going to go, wow. He knew when to pull it out, didn't he? He knew when to stop all the stuff. He knew when to do it. He knew to put the good in the barn and burn the old. I thought, that's amazing. Keys to the kingdom. They're all different because a farmer would understand every bit of that. Go talk to the farmer. He got it. You know anybody that has any kind of farm? That's what I do. I go see people that know their fields. and know their land and know the bacon, right? And all those things that he does. And Christ has a way of doing it. That's cool. I've already been longer than I thought I'd be. I got a clock up here. I've become, what do you call it? I'm a high-tech guy today. Because there's a verse I can't find in my Bible all the time, and I can find it on this pad. I don't know why, but I can go right to that thing, and it's up every time. But I can't find, I look in here, and I'm like, I know it's in there. I guess other people have the same struggle, I guess, huh? So we go into that, the keys to the kingdom. And then we see that there's all these different keys. I've made my point about that. You get different people can see it different ways, and you know how to handle that, and the farmer can do this, and the baker can do that. He meets us where we are. And that's what I like about it, because if not, I'd be missing. I'd miss it, because I can't figure out that, and I can't figure this out, right? And different things. So we see the keys to the kingdom, and we see all that, and we see that Christ, here's where we're going to go, has the keys to the kingdom, right? And what I want to say about that, I want the keys to the kingdom. I want to understand. He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Then I'm thinking, well, that's pretty wild. The only way that I can get keys from somebody is the owner of them or the caretaker. I thought about Carol and them. If I need a key to get in here, I know to call Carol. And now I think we have a key hanging home if I want to get in the building. You got to go to the caretaker. You got it to the one who has it. And Christ says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. I'll give them to you. So, well, I want to go. So what do I got to do to get the keys to the kingdom? What do I got to do to understand any of this in this word? Just go to him. Say, Christ, I need some help. I'm reading this. This is really interesting. I need the keys to the kingdom. I'm out super dry. And then also, he has the keys to death and Hades, I read the other day. I'm like, wow, he's got the keys to kingdom living. He's got the keys to death and to Hades. Well, Christ has got all the keys. Oh, wow, that's amazing. You know, he's got the keys there, right? It's keys to kingdom. There's many different, well, like I said before, many different keys. So there's a lot of different keys, obviously, different ways of seeing him and all those things. And so I was thinking on those things. So how am I going to approach it? What do I got to do? How am I going to figure that out? And then that's what I did. I started going, okay, I need to know, how can I start having kingdom living today? Because Rick Baker needs help tomorrow morning. Rick Baker needs help Tuesday morning. You know, never was a Sunday, Wednesday guy, Sunday mornings and then Wednesday church services or anything. That never would help me. I need help every single day. Every day. I do it a lot, too. I know I walk around and I say, Lord, man, you got to help me out again today. Whew, man, what was that? Where did that come from? You know, my thinking's my worst part. I got crazy stuff goes on. You know, and so I have to control that. So I need, Lord, I need a key to help me bring my mind in check, bring my heart into check in my thinking. Right? So I start thinking, he has the keys. So I'm going to go to him for everything. I want you to go to him for everything you need. I used to think my dad was crazy when he would say that. Because my dad would pray about a car. People say, you don't need to pray about that. You know the business decision then. The car costs this much. Do you have enough money to buy it? And all that. Dad said, nah, I got to pray about everything I do. Well, that's the truth. What decisions I make during the day, what I'm going to do, how's it going to work out, all those things. I say, take it to him. Take it to him. Now, we know he has the keys to the kingdom. He's got keys to life and death. Christ is carrying it all, right? And I want to go, and I started looking, and then I read another scripture. It said, one key, just a key. The keys weren't in this one. And it's in Isaiah 22:22. And it's funny, I can remember that scripture, right? The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulders. The key to the house of David will I lay upon his shoulders. So he will open it, and no man can shut it. And I thought, wow, there's a key, a single key now. Now we're down to one key, the keys of life and death. Oh, yeah, you're cool, thank you. You might get in. Thank you, that was perfect. And so the key now, we're down to one key. He had the keys of the kingdom. He had the keys to death and Hades and all that stuff. So now we're down to one key, right? The key of the house of David. So I had to start looking up what that was about. The house of David. And David represents what? Authority and power and all this. What'd you say?
Israel.
Yeah. And he was over all of Israel. He had all the power and authority over all that. All power and authority. But the key of the house of David. And I'm reading it over because I read it that many times. I would read it. What? The key of the house of David? One key? You mean I got one key? Say, no, you probably think I got crazy over one key. But I did. I'm going, no, there's only one key. Wow, I only need one key now. I don't have to have all the keys. I got one key. Right? So then I look. And then the next verse says, what's the next verse say? I got it right here. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Wow. Wait a minute. I would fasten him as a nail. So then I go, and I thought, wow, there's got to be other scriptures to back that up. So then I go into, here's where I need my little pad. I probably, watch me not find it this morning. I know it's going to happen to me. I bet money. Oh, there it is. All right. And then I go into Revelations, and it's to the message to the Church of Philadelphia. Right, and I saw I had to end up reading all them churches and what's all that's about, right? But that was kind of fun. So then we go to the church and he says, it's in 3:7, Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David. And I went, what? There we go. We're in Revelations now from Isaiah all the way through. Now we're in Revelations. Does that read the same as mine? I can't see it. He who is holy, he who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one will open. And I went, wow, there he is. Here we are in the New Testament. Now I had to find out he who is holy. So who's that? So I had to find scripture. I'm right away thinking it's Christ. But I had to find something that backs that up, not just because of my, because I think it is, right? I need a scripture that's saying that's who it is. And that's what so I got into that. And then if I can find it right, I probably lost it. Then they cried out with a loud voice, O Lord, holy and true, right? And they start, and that's in Revelation 6:10. But he who is true. And this is what I want to read to you. This is what I want to. It's in 1 John 5:20. And we know the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now who's holding the key of David? The Son of Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is true. He is holy. And the best part about it, he is in me. Am I getting it right? And we are in him. So all the keys he's carrying and the key we need is in Christ. Right? So I'm thinking, wow, it's so simple. After a while, you're going, well, that's, you know what I mean? Anybody knows that Christ, he's the key. Right, I'm thinking, is he the key? You know, look at that. Christ is him. He is true. We know that. He is holy. We know that. Right? And that's what it's saying. I love that it says we are in him and he is in us. See, it's not separate. We're not living like there's Jesus, because I know there's certain religions that believe that even when we get to heaven, God's over here and we're over here. And there's people that say that. I know them personally. And then we have that discussion. I said, well, why would he come and want to dwell in our hearts and have this relationship, but then go to heaven we have no contact? Why would he separate after all this stuff he's done for us? Why would he separate if he is the Son of God? If he's Jesus Christ, why would he want to separate? See, and that's what when I read these scriptures, I go, oh, he's in me and I am in him. So we see that that's the point. And so I'm going, now I got him. I'm breaking it down and I'm seeing The keys to the kingdom come through him. He's got the keys to life and death and Hades and everything like that. All these keys. Now we find out the key of David. So it says in Isaiah 22:22, right? The key of David shall be laid upon his shoulders. And I'm thinking, man, laid upon his shoulders. Well, how does that happen? Right? And I'm thinking, how can that, what's the key? So the key to everything is like, where's that key? I want to find that key. I want to see the key. It's laid upon his shoulders. So then we go in to the scripture. And I think it's in, let me find it. And I got to prove that to you, because to me this is fun. I'm just giving you what I'm doing. I'm having a blast doing this at home. I'm sharing it with Kathy and Gavin. And Gavin knows more than all of us. Man, I'm telling you, the kid can remember everything. He remembers scriptures. He remembers all kinds of stuff. Like, you went somewhere. Did you see the guy had a blue shirt on? I'm like, well, I didn't see none of that. I missed all that. But there he is, the key. And then we go into the next thing. So I'm hunting down this key that's going to be laid upon his shoulder. You guys all with me or what? I'm almost done. So then I'm thinking about that. The key is laid upon his shoulder. But don't forget, because this is how I repeat everything, because this is how I do it. I go in my head, I go, okay, he's got the keys to the kingdom. He's got the keys to Hades and to death, right? The key is laid upon his shoulder. What does that look like? So I start looking, and John 19:17 says, and he is bearing his cross, went forth, and there's the key. You know what, man, he's carrying a cross laid upon his shoulders. Right? He took it. He carried it. The key is I lay upon his shoulders. He is holy. He is true. There's no other one holy and true but Christ. Right? And the key is the cross. He carried that cross. Some people think he carried it half a mile. Some people think he carried it 650 yards. And you know what I mean? They have all these things about how they think he carried it and where he went. But it doesn't matter. It was there for a while. He did have help. The guy, Simon, come along and helped him along and do that. I'm not doing it. But Christ actually bared that cross. Amen. Say, the key will be laid, all power and authority. That's what the key of David is. It's all power and authority is laid on the cross, on the back of Christ. And he's carrying that key for you, Walt, for Ed, for all of us. Amen. He carried that key. He carried it for Rick Baker, who grew up, knew him better. And did whatever he wanted to do. Ran as hard as I could run. And Christ did that. He carried that key for me. He cares for you that much. Right? And I'm thinking, man, he did that. Here he is. He's barren. He's beat now. Get who he is. Look how beat he was. How beat up he was. He wasn't some healthy guy carrying this. This guy had been beat. And he's going to carry the cross for Jay and Hope. For you too. Think about that. Man, get that in your head. That there's a cross he's bearing. Right? And he carries that. All power and authority is laid on his shoulders. Then they take him. What do they do? What's the 23rd Isaiah 22:23 say? They took a nail and they nailed him to a firm place. He was nailed to that authority. There was no separating him. He didn't separate himself from it. He went all the way with the suffering, as Keith was talking about, as Ed was talking about. There he is being nailed to the all authority. I thought, oh man, what a place. Christ did that for Jacob. For you. For you. Oh, I want to tell you all, man, that's what he did it for. He didn't do it for himself. And then somebody talks to me, I'm ready to be mad. What are you talking about? Right? That's not the world, is it? That's the world, but that's not us. Right? Tell them. We got to point them. Give them something to feed on. Send them to Christ. Look what he did for you. Look what he did. He went on that cross. He has the key to everything. Everything lies in him. He has the keys to heaven. Keys to kingdom living. Today you need some help kingdom living. You need to know how to live. Go to the key. Christ. There he is. Hung on the cross for you. Because all power is placed on him. And then he actually died. And he is rose again. And he is coming back again. But he did all that for you. He did it all for me. And I think that's key. That he is the key. Whatever your fears may be. It's in Christ. Your answer is in him. The key to the kingdom is through Christ. Seek all that kingdom you want. If you're not going to the key, they're not going to open the doors. You won't see it. Because when he opens the door, what does it say? It will not be shut. And when he shows you how to start doing some kingdom living today, you're going to go, man, I can't take for that. Look, it quietly happened in my back room. I started seeing that the Lord was rising in my life. And I go, man, there's a different way of living. I got a different way to go. And once you know it, you can't back out of it. You try to separate the yeast from the flour. Can't do it. You can't do it. You can't separate it. Once he starts riding in your life, right, Jamie? You can't back out. You can try all you want. Go do whatever you think you got to do. You can turn the corner and there he is. There he is. Right there waiting on you. Right there. He never leaves you. Never forsakes you. If he went through all that to have authority placed on his back, you think he's going to drop you? Just because you do something dumb? Because I'd already been dropped. I react crazy sometimes. Do you know him as the key? Do you know him? I know. Some of you probably say, what's he doing telling us this? Well, because I still want you to know it. No matter what you're doing, if you've been saved 50 years, Ed, do you know him as the key? Sure you do. Right? You keep staying there. I need it, man. This was for me. I sit in that back room and I go, man, thank you. Now I know where to go. Quit chasing the keys of the kingdom. Quit looking at, you know, I got all the keys. Jesus got all the keys. Oh, I'm the key. Come to me. Come to me, Rick. I'll open it. I'll let you look. I'll give you a peek in here. I'll give you what you need. Because I need help every day, people. Come on. You're talking to Rick Baker here. One day God's going to let me share some stuff. And it's going to be fun. She's saying no. Patsy says no. I just want you to know, thank you for letting me share that. That's all I got. And isn't it cool? It's that simple. He's the key. The fear thing is crazy rampant. I can't even get over it sometimes walking around. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me. I understand what's going on, but you're being so misled. Quit being misled. Bang your head in this thing, man. I mean, seriously, read it. It applies. Yes. And if you ask him the key, he'll open it and it'll help you out. Yes. And all your decisions. Yes. Life decisions. Everything you're doing. Everything you're doing. Because like I said, I need it every day. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are the key. We thank you that you bared that cross for us. All authority is in you. And we bow to you at that cross. I've heard Jay say it many times. At the cross. And Lord, we thank you that you did all that for each and every one of us here today. Amen. And we thank you that you want to dwell in our hearts. Amen. Amen.